The question that was asked during the children's sermon, what or who is coming very soon, that's a very dangerous question to ask children after Thanksgiving, certainly after the calendar has hit December. We all know, including our children, that something big is about to happen. We can look around and see that it is already happening. But in our children's minds, and maybe in some of our minds, it's about the celebration of Christmas or the coming of Santa Claus. It has been Christmas in our world, it seems, since mid or late October. It seems like you get off of summer vacation and the shelves are being cleared in Target and Walmart and Lowe's for the Christmas decorations to go out. And then comes Black Friday, which for many people now comes on Thanksgiving Day, and that's the official kickoff, it seems, to Christmas. And people who have spent a few hours thinking of all of the things for which we have to be thankful, then they are out. We are out. I'm going to tell you where I was Thanksgiving night. There we are trying to buy more stuff. Somebody has said that Black Friday is the most cutthroat day in retail sales. Seems like Black Friday takes on a life of its own. And our culture, it rushes into this season of Christmas. But in the middle of all of this, the church cries out for us to slow down, to put on the brakes, to become somber and wait. Wait through these weeks for Christmas. Advent is a time to be quiet and to ponder and to watch and to listen and to wait, because something is about to happen. We pull out a couple of Advent hymns that we know that pray for Christ to come. We sing them in the middle of a culture that has already rushed into Christmas. Why can't we just move ahead? But when we are expecting Christ, we have to get ready and prepare and be patient. I love a little book that includes children's letters written to God. It came out several years ago. The letters were put together by a seminary professor. And in these questions, you can find about every question that the most educated theologian would ask. Here's one. Dear God, are you really invisible, or is it just a trick? Signed, Lucy. Here's another one. Dear God, thank you for my baby brother, but what I really prayed for was a puppy. Signed, Joyce. Dear God, maybe Cain and Abel would not kill each other so much if they had their own rooms. It works with me and my brother. Signed, Larry. Dear God, instead of letting people die and having to make new ones, why don't you just keep all the ones you have now? That's from Jane. And my favorite, dear God, are you real? Some people don't believe it. If you are, you better do something quick. Love, Elizabeth May. Elizabeth May must have been familiar with this prophet Isaiah that Jocelyn read a moment ago. In my translation, the prophet Isaiah says, "Oh, that you would tear open the heavens and come down. Oh, that you would tear open the heavens and make your name known." Here's the situation. the armies of Babylon. They have swept through Jerusalem. They have crushed the city. They have carried off all of Jerusalem's leaders. They have taken the politicians and the business people and the clergy. They have taken them away back to Babylon to live in exile. Several generations pass while God's people live in exile. And then an amazing thing happens. In Persia, a new emperor named Cyrus, he defeats the Babylonians. And as he gains power and control, the first thing he does is he allows the Israelites, those from Jerusalem, those exiles, he lets them go back home. So they take that trip back across the desert to their home city, to Jerusalem. And while they've been in exile, they've been singing songs about Jerusalem. They have been writing poems about their blessed and holy city. They remember the splendor, the strong walls, the beautiful buildings, and the temple where God dwelled. But when they finally get home, when their journey is over, what they find is a city that lays in ruins. It's desolation. The walls have been knocked down and even the temple, where they found and met God, it has been destroyed. They should have known that they were not going to find it as they left it. The temple is now gone. And there's God's people sifting through what is left of their city, going through the ashes for just a scrap of something valuable. There they are. Think of an image where a family has lost their home in a fire. They're looking through the ashes for a photograph or a scrapbook. Any reminder of how life once was. In despair, this prophet, poet, his message, his prayer comes forth for all of God's people. Oh, that you would tear open the heavens and come down. I wonder, have you ever prayed like that? Has there ever been a time in your life when you just forgot about the language that you normally use in prayer and you just prayed with the most bold speech you could muster? Has there ever been a time in your life that you just fell to your knees and you wept or screamed and called on God? Have you ever been there? Have you ever been in that pit of despair? Have you ever just called out to God in anger or in anguish, in deep grief or pain or fear? I bet if you are divorced, you know what this is about. I would guess that if you have ever lost your house in a fire or a flood, or in foreclosure, you know what this is about. Have you ever prayed a prayer like this? I would guess if you've ever had cancer, you know what this prayer is about. If you've ever lost a child, I feel like you know what this prayer is about. Oh God, that you would just tear open the sky and just come down to where I am. If you've ever battled an addiction, or you have watched someone close to you, or if you have suffered from PTSD, I'm going to guess you know what this prayer is about. If you've ever lost your job, if you have ever been abused. Okay, God, I really need you now. just tear open the heavens and come down. This prayer is prayed in places like that waiting room at the hospital or that little consultation room where they come and take a family. This prayer is prayed in that marriage counselor's office. This prayer is prayed in that visitation room at the funeral home. This prayer is prayed in jail cells. This prayer is prayed in that chair in the school office where you have waited time and time again. This prayer is prayed sitting in that chair beside of that hospice bed. God, if you would just tear open the heavens and come down, if you would just come down and replace all of my despair with hope and change my fear to promise and move us from all of our doubts to faith and hope. Come on, God, where are you? Could you please just come out of retirement? Have you left the building? Have you left the world? Have you left me? There may be some of you who have no idea what I'm talking about, but many of you do. You've prayed this prayer, and you know exactly how it feels. You've prayed Isaiah's prayer, and you didn't see anything. You cried out to God, and there seemed to be no response. And instead of the heavens being torn open, your heart was torn apart. And it felt like God was out of reach. And we feel like Isaiah. And we cry out, God, just do something to end my hurt. God, just do something to bring peace. God, just do something to heal my family's brokenness. God, do something to let me keep my job. God, just do something to take away this anger that is consuming me. God, just do something to break the hold grief has on me. God, where are you? You know, here at church, this morning in worship, you know, we simply light candles. We sing old songs praying for the day that Christ will come. We read ancient texts that point us looking forward to the coming of Christ. But we know, deep down in our hearts, we know that God has already answered our prayer, that God continues to answer this prayer. Somewhere deep in my heart and somewhere deep in your heart, we know that in the birth of a child in Bethlehem long ago, God did come down. And a few years later, over a baptism at the Jordan River, God did tear open the heavens. And in a brief moment, as Jesus walked the dusty roads of Galilee and healed the sick and welcomed the outcast and restored the unclean and taught us that it's better to give than to receive and that the highest and best any of us can ever do is give of our lives and of our love. And as he died in humble obedience, God did tear open the heavens and come down. And on that third day, when death could not contain him, when the very love and power of God defeated the powers of sin and death, the powers of violence and abuse and injustice, When that child, now a man, rose up and walked into the light of that first day of the week, God definitively, once and for all, answered our prayer. Help me. Dear God, you better do something quick. Oh God, that you would tear open the heavens and come down. God has. There is hope for you and me. God has come into the world, and God continues to come. Blessed good news of hope. Let us pray. Almighty God, while we wait, we also rejoice knowing that you come to this world, that you have not left us alone. God, today reassure us of the advent of Jesus Christ, that he has come. He continues to visit and dwell with us, and he will come again. In the name of Jesus I pray. Amen. Our hymn of response today is number 76. O come, Emmanuel. As we come closer to the Lord's table, let us examine our hearts and cry out that God will come to us. Please stand to sing.